you know that when your eyes close here, that when they open there, the first face you'll see, like the blind man, is Jesus's.
Pastor Chris Roseborough, host of Fighting for the Faith, speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
This is the gospel. It's Jesus. And when you take these texts and make them about you, you miss him. And you leave yourself with no hope. And our hope is in him.
You can listen to Chris's entire presentation and teachings by Craig Parton, Matt Harrison, Al Schmidt, Will Whedon, and Jonathan Fisk on a new audio DVD for the 2014 Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
One yard, 1 foot for the same sex to get married, and they're taking wrong and making it right, and taking right, making it wrong.
Those of us who are inspired by Judeo-Christian values, we're not seeking to sit in judgment of anyone. But we know that there are fundamental truths proven through thousands of years of human history.
I've referred to Joel Osteen's theology of the tyranny of positive thinking, where everybody must say positive things and think positive thoughts in order to be blessed by God.
That's the difference between preaching about Christ, where you basically just cut him apart and use him however you see fit, versus preaching Christ.
Pro Football Hall of Fame wives, love Issues, etc.
The headline says that all Americans are giving more to charity, but of that more that they're giving to charity, less is going to the church. Overall, giving, that is charitable giving by the United States, at least according to the Giving USA Foundation and the Indiana University Lilly Family School of Philanthropy, giving is up about 3% when adjusted for inflation. That's good, charitable giving overall. But of that increase in charitable giving, less and less every year is going to churches, from 57% about a decade ago of all charitable giving going to churches, down to 31%. That's a pretty precipitous decline. Why is that? And someone might say, what's the difference? Charity is charity. I give to the Red Cross. I give to the United Way. They come to the door. I give at the office. And I give some at church. It's all charitable giving. What difference does it make? Does giving to your church, is it different than giving to the United Way or to the Red Cross or any other organization that is asking for your charity? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 25th of June. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Heath Curtis will join us to talk about a new survey on a decline in giving to churches. A little bit later, a Mormon activist who is advocating for the ordination of Mormon women to the Mormon priesthood. That's an interesting concept in and of itself. She's been excommunicated from the LDS Church. She's going to appeal it, but she didn't think that it's going to do her any good. We're going to talk to Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry about that for a few minutes a little bit later in this hour of Issues, Etc. Dr. Peter Scare joins us in advance of the church's remembrance of the apostles Peter and Paul on the 29th of June. We'll be doing that this afternoon with him for about an hour, and then in the last few minutes of Issues, Etc., we'll get an update on the destruction from tornadoes that hit northeastern Nebraska. Pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Pilger, Nebraska, where the church building, the parsonage, and many of the homes of the parishioners were completely destroyed last week. Pastor Terry Makelin will be our guest in the last 15 minutes of the program. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Joining us to talk about a new survey on a decline in giving to churches, Pastor Heath Curtis, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois, coordinator of stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Heath, welcome back.
Always good to be with you, Todd.
Someone's going to say, look, what difference does it make? Charity is charity. I give to the Red Cross. I give to the United Way. Somebody comes by the office with a charitable can for who knows what. I get stopped by a guy with his fireman's boot at the crossing guard, and then they pass the plate at church. It's all charity. What's your response?
Well, the response is that, you know, what is your charity doing? You can kind of look at it as from the perspective of the giver or the perspective of, you know, what am I giving to? So in the one sense, we might say, well, that any giving that a person gives, right, in that sense, sure, charity is charity. You're doing something generous. You're doing something outside yourself. Hey, that's wonderful. But to simply refuse to differentiate between what is given to the church and what is given to the United Way, for example, the Red Cross, well, if you don't, well, then you need to compare, well, what are each of these places doing with my money? What's the importance of what they're doing? And, of course, as Christians, we believe that the most important thing that happens on earth is what happens in the church, is connecting people to Jesus Christ and ourselves being fed and nourished with the Word of God and the sacraments. And so for Christians, I mean, this should be the first and foremost biggest part of our generosity. And so that's one difference. And the other difference is even in the secular work, the mission work, the human care work, the work of dealing with people's physical needs, what's a better way for Christians to be giving? Do we, or should we do this work in the name of Christ, or should we, you know, ship it off to a place that's completely secular and let them take care of it? And so by either measure, you know, I think it would be very destructive to the whole notion of the holiness of the mission of the church to simply lump that all into a category and call it charity.
The news reports are noting that a decade ago, donations of all overall charitable giving by Americans, the percentage of those donations that went to churches, that is, as they classify them, houses of worship, not faith-based organizations, but houses of worship, was about 57% of overall giving. It's down to 31%. Do you have a way of accounting for that?
Well, part of it, of course, is simply the, as a percentage of the population, active Christians were much higher, you know, 50, 40, 30 years ago even. And so that is certainly part of the equation. The other part of the equation is that charitable giving in the United States has always been more popular than it has been in other Western industrialized countries. It's kind of part of the American culture in general, is this giving to things outside of yourself, giving back to your community. And so that, as that has continued to grow, and as America has become less Christian, less specifically, less church going, and church belonging, it's only natural that those percentages have changed along as the culture has changed.
All right, let's talk about two concepts. We already mentioned one, but we really didn't define it. This concept of charity, is it a biblical concept? How is it different from the idea of, say, which is kind of our way of talking about it nowadays, stewardship or philanthropy or simple offering?
Right, yeah. See, those are all actually vastly different concepts. You know, the widest concept of the one that you mentioned is stewardship. How do we use all the things that God has given us for the purposes which God has given us to fulfill on earth? So I have my calling as a father and husband in the home. I have my calling personally as a pastor, but every Christian, as a member of a specific local congregation, you have a calling from God to be there in that place, serving the body of Christ in a way that makes sense in that place. And then our callings in society, each one of those callings makes a claim on my material resources. You know, it would be wrong for me as a father to give away, you know, 97% of my income to charity or even a church, because my vocation as father and husband has a claim on those resources, a rightful claim. So that's the widest concept. Charity, what people typically mean by charity, is helping people who are in need with their physical needs. And so here's, you know, you asked the question, why the shift? There's one other thing that we should talk about in the shift, and I think it probably even applies to people's giving within the church, and that is this. People is just a natural part of human nature. People like to give to causes where they can see an immediate and dramatic effect. And so in a sense, it's a lot of fun to write a check to, let's say, the Red Cross, and then you can say, man, I helped, you know, run that blood drive, which helped get that plasma to that person who needed the transfusion. Or you can say, man, I wrote that check to the United Way, and I can see the soup kitchen that they're doing. And so that is another thing I think has become very popular, very direct, as the marketing of development offices in every nonprofit organization has gotten more and more sophisticated. This is one of the things, you know, you're taught how do you develop donors. You show them with immediacy exactly what their dollars are doing. Now, in the church, well, what are my dollars doing? What can I see? Every preacher who's ever been through this will tell you it's a lot easier to raise money for a new building, which you can see, which everybody's going to enjoy, which you can walk into when the construction is over. That's easier than raising money for a needed staff position in the church. You know, maybe we need an associate pastor now, or maybe we need to expand the school staff, or, you know, it's much more, you know, it's much more uncomfortable for the preachers in the church to say, well, gosh, we need this money. Why do we need this money? Well, because the Lord says that those who preach the gospel should make their living by the gospel. And you need men who are dedicated, who can dedicate themselves full-time to preaching the word, learning the word, baptizing and catechizing your children, distributing the Lord's Supper to the sick in the hospital and to all of us here together on Sunday morning. That's what, in most congregations, if not a majority, a quarter or a third of the giving is going toward. And that is, in a sense, invisible because it's assumed. Well, of course we do that. That's what the church does. We have church on Sunday morning. Of course I expect the pastor to come visit me and anytime I'm sick and be able to do that. But if we don't effectively support the ministry of the church, then, you know, those things won't happen. If we take them for granted and we only want to give to the big, visible, fun, charity aspects of the church, then we're neglecting the reason the church exists, to get the Word of God into people, to develop them into mature, godly Christians who will then pass on the Christian faith to the next generation as God blesses them.
Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. When we come back, another few minutes with him talking about a new survey on the decline of giving to churches. Stay tuned.
The uniqueness of Lutheranism is that it gets the New Testament doctrine of justification like nobody else.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
It's also taught among us that we cannot obtain forgiveness of sin and righteousness before God by our own merits, works, or satisfactions, but that we receive forgiveness of sin and become righteous before God by grace. For Christ's sake, through faith. Don't lose heart. You're not crazy. You're just an Orthodox Lutheran. Be faithful, be kind, and be Orthodox.
You can listen to President Harrison's presentation and all of the speakers at the Making the Case conference on a new audio DVD. We'll send it to you for a $300 donation to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a new survey reflecting a decline in the giving. Overall, charitable giving is up, but giving to churches is down. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois, and coordinator of stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Heath, before we go on, tell us a little bit about your stewardship efforts. You defined it before the break, this overall vocational view of that make claims upon us, our time, our treasures, all of those things, your efforts on behalf of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. How would you describe it?
Yeah, it's my joy to really to try to get especially, we're especially focused on aiming at talking with pastors who are, you know, I was certainly this way coming out of the seminary. We're uncomfortable talking about this. Who wants to talk about money in church? You know, no preacher gets into the business of preaching because he loves money. We get into the business of preaching because we love our Lord Jesus Christ, and we want to share the joy of loving Him and knowing Him with His people. And so when you suddenly get out of the seminary, you're all very idealistic, and you get to that first budget meeting, and your head's kind of swimming with these spreadsheets your treasurer is showing you, and it comes home, you know, very directly that, oh, well, you know, this is part of the church's life. This is part of our life together. We need to fund the mission as God has told us. And so so what I try to help pastors see and other lay leaders who are involved in stewardship is get back to your first love. Get back to your love of the Lord and His Word and dig into that Word and find a way to approach this that's radically biblical and robustly Lutheran, and you'll be a lot happier about it, and your people will be excited about it. And so I really like to talk a lot about that vocation, that God has given you a purpose in your home, in your church, and in your society, and those purposes, those roles, those vocations that God has given you, that's where meaning comes from in your life, and this is how Lutherans really approach sanctification. You know, there is obviously, from all the fake-o, weirdo TV preachers in the world, there's obviously a desire among Christ's people for the things of God and for sanctification. And as Lutherans, we need to talk about that in a Lutheran way, because there is a hunger for that. And for us, it's vocation. Holiness, growing in a holy life, growing in the imitation of Christ, is not for us some fad or just another book to try or whatever the case may be. It's not seeking after, you know, strange spiritual gifts. Your growing in holiness in Christ is trying to serve the people God has given you to serve in a better way in your home, in your church, and in your society. So for us, getting more holy is not in some abstract sense getting more holy. It's not locking yourself in a room and trying to, you know, commune with the divine on your own. Being more holy is, you know, spend more time with your kids. Be a better father or mother. Try to get to church more often if you've fallen away a little bit. If you're an every Sunday goer, get into the Word a little more in your week. Pay attention to what God has given you to do, not made-up works, but the works that God has given you to do as you serve others in the home, in the church, and in society. And that becomes a much more natural way for a preacher or a lay leader to talk about stewardship. that's where it fits. God has given me these people to serve. God has given me these tasks to fulfill. One of the many tools he's given me to do that with are my fiscal resources. And so where I put those need to be, that needs to be reflective of the jobs, the duties, the purposes God's given me in those three spheres of life.
Folks, you can find out all about the stewardship efforts of Pastor Heath Curtis and several stewardship resources from him at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship. Heath, this is something, reflecting on what you just said and what we were talking about before the break, one of the things that I learned, oh, this is probably 10 years ago, from a fellow pastor who just put it in very basic, simple terms. He said, first of all, I need to be willing to approach my congregation and simply ask them. You know, it never hurts to ask. I've learned that in living from the charity of our generous listeners for 15-plus years now. It never hurts to ask, and it never helps to underestimate the generosity of God's baptized people. But this pastor said, look, I just put it this way. Look, your offering puts food on my table, feeds my family. Your offering makes sure that I have enough money to pay my bills, that the church has enough money to pay its bills and keep on the lights. All of those very simple, banal things that you expect in your life from, you know, your employer, your offering does that for me. And it frees me as your pastor to stand in the pulpit, God willing, without all the worries of those things pressing upon me, and preach the gospel to you. That sounds like a really simple way to think about the church handling the question of money. What do you think?
Yeah. We're a family. And in any family, in any healthy family, we deal with our finances in an upfront way. And also, in all this, in the giving to the church, the issue of neighbor and neighborliness, you know, the church needs to listen, I think, in a much more fundamental way to what the Bible says about neighbor. Now, while it is true that in one sense everybody in the world is your neighbor because your Lord Jesus Christ died for everybody, but think about that question where Jesus asked, you know, who was the neighbor to the man? They're actually in proximity. You know, that's what the word neighbor means. You know, it's old English. It's the farmer that lives near you, the nigh boor. Okay, and so when we are stepping over our neighbor, so that we can do some flashy charity thing halfway around the world, or halfway around the country, or halfway around town, you know, there's some disconnect there. And I think that's especially true when we talk about the church. Your nearest neighbor, St. Paul says, is your family, right? He says those who don't care for their family, they're worse than unbelievers. And Jesus also says to the Pharisees, you know, you've got this gig where if children give the money to church, they don't have to support their parents. Jesus says, you have destroyed the fourth commandment. You know, so our family makes a call on that. Well, the very next sphere is the sphere of the church. That is the next level of neighborliness to us. And specifically, when I say the church, I mean the church where you go and sit in the pew. And so I'm a big fan of helping people to see that this radical neighborliness, that God has put you in literal proximity to people, and that, you know, these concentric circles of responsibility and duty and purpose. It's harder to care for the people that you're closest to. You know, there's more bad blood and fights within a family than there are with people who live, you know, 1,000 miles apart. But isn't that precisely the point? God puts us in proximity to people to learn to be charitable and loving and generous. And it's much easier to write a check and send it off in the mail and, oh, that was fun, I get to see this big project that happened. How much harder is it to fulfill my duty as neighbor to these people I actually live with day in, day out, week in, week out, in my home, in my church where I sit in the pew, and in my community where I live and work and get to know people.
Picking up on something you said earlier in our conversation, this notion that look, the charitable giving is down to churches, and you said it has a cultural component too. And I wonder what you think about this. It has been noted for the last, we're now going on 20 years. The propensity, especially in America, for people to regard themselves as either very ambiguously religious, some kind of generally Christian-ish, or more often than not nowadays, spiritual but not religious. That kind of spirituality that really is radically individualistic and has no view of neighbor, much less of church or congregation. Do you think that plays a role here?
Pardon me, yeah. Absolutely, and specifically when you think about that kind of I'm spiritual but not religious kind of thing, it is radically individualistic in that you know those folks are literally never joining or very rarely joining together with their neighbors to worship. You know, I worship on my own. I commune when I'm mowing the lawn or whatever the case may be. So it's radically individualistic in that sense. But then there also is, among the spiritual but not religious, there certainly is a big push toward the charity. But again, what is that lacking? You know, if you go and volunteer at the soup kitchen, that's great. But again, if that's the extent of your contact with this person, in what sense are you their neighbor? In a sense, you're using them as a tool in your spiritual quest. It makes me feel good to give charitably or to go work in the soup kitchen. But if that's never connected to the things of God, if that person doesn't become my brother and sister in Christ, a person I share a pew with or a church membership with, then that neighborliness never really clicks. I just go back and I live in my gentrified apartment building, and when I get to kind of feeling this empty void in my spiritual life, I'll go volunteer for a weekend at the shelter, and then I come home into my nice gentrified apartment, separated from everybody. I never go to church. I don't actually have any friends who are outside my exact socioeconomic, cultural, education class. That's not community. That's not neighborliness. G.K. Chesterton has this great quote, this great idea about, you know, the cliche kid who's grown up in a small town and he wants to get out of the small town because it's too small for him. And Chesterton says it's actually the opposite that's true. The small town is too broad for him, because in the small town he's forced to live with people he might disagree with. Whereas if you go to the big city, you can go to college and make new friends and only hang out with people who exactly agree with you and they're just like you. But in the small town, you might have to rub elbows with people who think very differently than you. Well, it's the same thing here when I'm talking about the neighborliness and the radical locality of the Christian congregation, where you actually live with these people and worship with them and are forced to interact with them, and not merely treats the people in your spiritual life as mere tools for you to use individualistically and when you want to get around to it.
Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. He's coordinator of stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Heath, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Ted.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Bill McKeever, a regular guest, founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah. An interesting story coming out of the LDS Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. An activist, a Mormon woman who is an activist for the ordination of women to the Mormon priesthood, has been excommunicated. What is that all about? And is it possible, golly, the Mormons have changed their teaching on that, other things? Almost as radical as that, is it a possibility that if she pushed hard enough, she could get them to change their teaching? All they got to do is have a word from their living prophet. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break on this Wednesday afternoon, June the 25th, with Bill McKeever, founder of Mormonism Research Ministry. Then Dr. Peter Scare will join us. We'll remember Apostles Peter and Paul for about an hour and then get an update on the destruction from the tornadoes that hit northeastern Nebraska. Our second update with Pastor Terry Maiklin of St. John Lutheran Church in Pilger, Nebraska.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one-tons to box trucks and booms. Everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
What are some practical and personal issues facing many single men and women? And how can singles live secure in Christ? The Issues Etc. book of the month for June is Hello, My Name is Single. It's written by regular guest Adrian Dorr Heinz. Hello, My Name is Single is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about Hello, My Name is Single at issuesetc.org.